Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
Books. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gutenberg? It's a rhetorical question, sir. But where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt, and welcome to Bookworm. Today, my guest is Jane Gillette. Well, this is a very wonderful story. Having been writing stories since she was in her 20s, she is now 74 and has published her first book of short stories. It's from a brand new press, and they are very excited to be publishing her book, The Trail of the Demon and Other Stories, as their very first book. The press is the Missouri Review Books. As I say, this is their first book. You can find the book online. I particularly recommend getting in touch with the outfit called Small Press Distribution, because they give access to lots and lots of books that you don't know about, and you might as well know about Small Press Distribution. The great thing about The Trail of the Demon and Other Stories is, you know, many people, let's face it, grow old and sentimental. Jane has grown old and wickeder. She was always wicked. I've read her short stories here and there over the years. But it's really a thrill to have a book of short stories by someone who, well, I'm going to use the famous quote from Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. "For what do we live but to make sport for our neighbors and laugh at them in turn?" You can see that in all of Austen's novels. How does it work when writing in a short form, like a short story?
Well, I think that the short story is a marvelous form for repetition enhanced. So that I like to think of what I write as a garbage can with a rat in it. And you can hear the rat bang against the garbage can, bang again, bang again. And then finally, at the end, the rat bangs out the top of the garbage can. So that I think that the short story, you don't have to put too much padding in between things. We get the rat to repeat things and then end it.
I've noticed that in most of these stories, there's a diversion. In a story called The Ghost Driver, we suddenly come upon a ghost story, an urban legend about someone who's been picked up in a car that has no driver and has nothing to do with the rest of the story, except that it does.
Except it does, yes. The first part of the story is how this dance studio is going out of business. What are they going to do? And if we didn't have the tale that the young lady tells, who knows what would happen to them? But they get their clue from her so they can go on and have a new career.
Jane Gillette has been writing stories all her life, and this is a first book.
Yes.
Where do you get the ability to go on for so long waiting for this first manifestation?
Well, I think of the stories have been published over the years. I think
in magazines.
In
yes.
magazines.
Literary
yes.
magazines.
And that to me has been very exciting. Whenever that happens, I felt encouraged and eager to go on. I think of every time I've been encouraged by being published in a review. It's a big encouragement. So that while I'm thrilled to have a collection, I've had gotten energy and been pushed forward over the years by simple publication and reviews.
Now, Do you regard this as a collection? Are the stories unified for you?
I tried to put them together, and I did add a little to various stories to make them more demonic, and I also tried to order them in a way that they would be increasingly demonic. So, yes, I think of them as a collection.
We're on the trail of the demon in this book, and the demon seems to me to be those behaviors over which we have no control. The moment when we find, in fact, we didn't mean to be, we were better educated, but look at this, we are bigoted.
Yes.
Here it is. Here's the trail of the demon.
Yes.
And the title story is one in which a very strutting black teenager assaults an older woman, and in the assault liberates her sense. We give these young black teenagers too much freedom and praise them for assaulting us, and I've had it. I don't want to be in a state of admiration for bad behavior.
And yeah. She is also a high school teacher. So she herself has, she has encouraged this.
She realizes, I have taught you the books you care about. I've taught you Maya Angelou. I've taught you Eldridge Cleaver. I've taught you the books you've told me you want to know. I have been respectful and subservient, and now I am on the trail of the demon because I can no longer let go and be victimized by the people I've been taught to take special pains with. It's quite a shocking story.
It's terribly shocking. And I think whenever we discover hatred in ourselves, it's a terrible, terrible shock.
These stories are constructed out of a nest of narrators. And so what we're told about this story as soon as we begin it is, watch this, it's really something. This isn't a very nice story, but I feel I should tell it because at the time of the assault, I lived 6 houses away from Dawn, and she had so much to say, I thought I'd never hear the end of it. So this is a character who's inherited the story. What's more, shockingly, an urban legend has developed around Dawn and her retribution.
Yes.
So now we're back in this neighborhood where this assault has taken place 15 years later, and there is a trail of the demon. Dawn has become the demon, and neighbors know that there's a woman, a mysterious ghost, who is, what would you say, a corrective to badly behaving young strutting teenagers.
And is herself an emblem of hatred. I mean, it's a two-way street. And out of her burst of hatred, an urban legend has come, which is quite sad, but there she is.
I'm talking to Jane Gillette about her collection of stories, The Trail of the Demon. It's her first collection. And one of the things that I noticed is that because the author is in her 70s,
she's 74.
74. She's seen a lot come and go. And this story, The Trail of the Demon, would you do me a favor? Would you read the last paragraph?
I started to say there must be some other explanation for the disappearance of hundreds of young black men. Unjust drug policies, for one thing. A better explanation than an old white-haired woman with a shattered wine bottle. But then I thought, who am I to spoil the fun? And so I said, well, now that would make some historic trail, the trail of the demon. She laughed straight out at that and went on her way with her bag of groceries, both of us clucking our tongues and shaking our heads like the old women we were. And I stood there thinking about the trail of the demon, a short historic loop trail with only four markers. They, us, we, them. They hate us, and we are afraid of them, and we hate them, and they are afraid of us. They, us, we, them. Even though, when you get right down to it, we're all pretty much the same thing.
Well, that one takes my breath away, because simultaneously we get a picture of the cycle of hatreds that is eternal, and then to say, it's pretty much true for all of us. This is what has become an essence of American culture. Am I right there?
Yes, but we also must remember that this is an interchange at the end between two old women. One of them is black, and she's telling about the demon, and the other is white, and she's hearing about this friend of hers who's suddenly been turned into a demon. But they're two old women, and they're having a good time telling each other this story. So they are pretty much the same thing.
The second story, which I found hilarious, it's about, by and large, children's theater and an Easter pageant and inappropriate romance there. And it ends, comedy, tragedy, it's all the same to me. Almost as if one of the mysteries or celebrations of aging is getting past meaningless distinctions.
Yes, well, seeing similarities, isn't that part of the fun? Yes.
Part of the fun, but another kind of story wants to put its fist down on an ending and say where we are and this is it.
No.
Your stories say this is a part of it and it's getting ready to start all over again. We're going to see it in a new generation.
Of course.
So have your stories altered in this time? Did you once not know that it's all the same and that it starts over and over again?
Oh, yes. I think when I was young, I wrote, I believed in sad endings. Now I don't so much believe in sad endings. When I was young, I think I believed in happy endings. And now I feel much more ambivalent, and I try to express that.
Now, I remember years ago, when I read an early version of a novel of yours, we had a conversation, and I said to you, you believe in virtuous characters, get rid of them. All of the characters have the possibility of cruelty, unkindness, unperceptiveness. Stop saving a space. You can't. We're no longer living in Jane Austen's time when one character can be the target of comprehension.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
That was when I wasn't 74.
This literary magazine, the Missouri Review, decided that they were going to publish a book, their very first book, from Missouri Review Books, and they've chosen you.
Well, I'm tremendously pleased with that.
There's an introduction by the editor, who seems not to be hip to the fact that these stories are wicked, ambivalent. In fact, he compares them to Alice Munro.
Yes.
Now, you're not Alice Munro.
No, I'm not.
Alice Munro is a deeply ecumenical writer, and the deeper she gets, the more she sees into her characters. You are seeing that the world is composed, the way the Midwest is, of people who see each other's faults and keep them hidden?
Hidden. Well, perhaps Speer was trying to hide my wicked stories by being polite about it.
Well, where does politeness lead? That's a really important question in fiction.
It is. And perhaps politeness is the lid on top of the garbage can that holds us in, and we bang around, and then when we're not polite, we burst out. I don't know. But politeness is a very Midwestern sort of thing that we impose on a lot of situations that are diverse.
I'm talking with Jane Gillette. I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening, of course, to Bookworm from the studios of KCRW. This is a great occasion for me because I have the honor of speaking to a 74-year-old woman who's published a first book of stories. They've all been published in magazines, but an editor said, enough, we need to have them in a volume. And she really has put together The Trail of the Demon, which follows our demonic nature side by side with our impulse toward deference and politeness. So the stories are constantly ripping open and then concealing again the nature of the characters. It's quite extraordinary. We'll continue after this short break.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm. And I'm talking with Jane Gillette about her new book, her first book, The Trail of the Demon and Other Stories, a collection which shows the balance between the pros and cons of passing time. People are always told, and there's a major division nowadays about this, write what you know. To what extent has that been a useful piece of advice?
Well, I think that certainly I always start with something I know, and then I go somewhere where I don't know it. I think you would die of boredom if you only wrote what you knew. On the other hand, if you didn't have some acquaintance with what's there, yeah, I think you have to do both.
There are stories of Muncie, Indiana.
Yes.
Stories of Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Stories of San Francisco and environs, Berkeley. And occasionally stories of various places where you went to school, Vassar, Yale. And it seems to me that write what you know is a real apothegm for you, that you're not writing a story about a place you've never been, or do you?
Well, I have been in the places that where the stories are set. Now, for example, one is set in Fort Bragg, California, because bragging is what the story is about. But I don't know that a woman ever kept her cockatiel from flying away by telling him stories in Fort Bragg. I don't think that probably ever happened. In fact, I'm pretty sure it never happened.
Yes. And yet, Jane, this is a story, like many in the book, about a woman who loved a man more than he loved her.
Yes.
The man's name is Buck. The cockatiel's name is Buck. She's given herself this memory, and of course she tells some stories. The story of Buck is her particular story.
Yes.
And the women in this book, well, one woman in a story has the unique experience of being loved more than she loves, and that man is murdered.
Yes.
And, you know, it does seem that no one is going to get to be loved more than they love for very long in your stories. When something repeats from story to story, is a reader, me, wrong in making assumptions that this is what the author has learned about life?
Well, I don't know that I've learned that all love is not reciprocated. But I certainly think that unreciprocated love is a demonic sort of thing.
Yes.
That happens to many, many people. It doesn't mean it will always happen. But that's a thread through the stories that I hope makes a trail through them that ties them together.
Yes. And these unrequited loves make another kind of trail of the demonic.
Yes.
Why demonic?
Well, I think that it's the sort of thing that awakens bad feelings in you and pushes you ahead in probably bad ways. It's not pleasant not to be loved. And I think when people aren't loved, they tend to take it out on other people.
Now, Jane Gillette is a real reader. Yesterday at dinner, she told me she's gotten the four, I think, volumes of short stories by Henry James from the Library of America because she noticed that there were some she'd never read. She's a careful reader, a cautious reader, an insightful reader. To what extent does guiding interpretation dominate your stories? Are you instructing the reader in a certain direction?
I don't think so. I don't think I'm saying do this or do that. But I do think I am always saying, let's make this complicated. Let's make this beautiful. Let's not slack off, reader. Let's get with it.
So you write for the diligent reader.
I think I do. It may be that I write for the diligent writer, which is me. I like to be complicated. It amuses me.
Amuses, but does it also bewitch or bewilder you?
Well, I rewrite things, yes. So the third time I rewrite something, I may add some bits, and the fourth time I rewrite it, I may take them out. Yeah, you don't want things so complicated nobody can follow them. You can't be a demon just running loose. You've got to have somebody following where you're running.
Well, you do that very well because, you know, no sooner did I finish the book than I started to read it again. And the book made gestures, at least, of the connections between these stories.
Yes.
And the lives in these stories. Some names recur. Alicia, for example, there's a character named Jane. I mean,
yes.
We're being tested. Is
yes.
it Jane Gillette? Maybe.
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 Could well be.
I found it fascinating to read the first book by a 74-year-old who I've admired since we were in our 30s.
Yes. It's a long time.
What does it feel like now to have done this?
I'm very, very pleased. Very pleased. And I hope Missouri Review Books continues to find things that are unusual, like the first book of a 74-year-old woman.
The first book of a 74-year-old woman, I have to tell you, I love it. I really do. I love it.
And a new subtitle.
And I think there will be more. I really do. I think that this is the rat getting out of the can.
that's delightful. Well, I will start writing another one next week. I write all the time. I write new stories.
Oh, no, I already have. Yeah. I have some issues of the Missouri Review with two stories that are not in this collection. And I really look forward to reading more and more of them. I think that you are on the cusp. You'll have to show me of what.
But yes, it better be a fast cusp. I don't know.
No, you never know. It's fantastic. Yeah. Your stories are so young and alive. Yeah. You know, the only thing they have that old people have is distance and wisdom, and that's fun too. You're telling us things that we don't tend to know about love, about friendship, about life, about honor, about marriage. Mm. This is a real, you know, lovely book. It's a book of sensibility, and you instruct with your sensibility. I'm not going to say that you tell people what to do.
Never.
But I am going to say that you set up difficulties and surprises that make us see that life takes its turns willy-nilly.
Yes.
That there always is something next. And that's very exciting, Jane.
Oh, thank you.
I've been talking with Jane Gillette, author of The Trail of the Demon and Other Stories, published by Missouri Review Books. It's the first book they've published. Thank you, Jane, for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me here.
You can comment on today's show or read an excerpt from The Trail of the Demon and Other Stories at kcrw.com/bookworm. Download the podcast from kcrw.com or from iTunes. You can also listen on demand with KCRW's smartphone apps. My co-producer is Connie Alvarez. Alan Howard is associate producer. Alan Howard introduced me to the work of Jane Gillette. The technical director is Mario Diaz. Special thanks to my assistant, Sean Sullivan. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms. I am a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcasts, the most recent ones, at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mayle of Sparks.
Read this, read that, read this, bookworm. Read this, read that, read this. I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm when Matthew McIntosh is our guest.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.